This is the first time, to my knowledge, that the Pacifica Foundation has decided to solve their problems by shutting down an entire radio station and kicking out their staff. This is the worst crisis in the history of community radio.
I think that we're moving in a direction that is dangerous at a time when most media is being dealt with a corporatization, and that Pacifica should not stand that way. Pacifica needs to stand alone to speak for the voiceless.
On July 13, 1999, leaders of the national media organization Pacifica Radio locked out staff, volunteers, and management from its flagship station, KPFA Radio in Berkeley, California. Pacifica had finally muted its KPFA broadcasters when it found that it could not enforce its policy against discussing Pacifica-related matters on the air. Now, a historic struggle over free speech and media access is underway, and the future of community radio may be at stake. I'm Norman Solomon, your host on this special co-production of the National Radio Project and the Institute for Public Accuracy. After the July 13th lockout, Pacifica Radio moved swiftly to secure KPFA with a hand-picked interim manager and technical operator. The station proceeded to fill its air with archival tape and music. On July 21st, Pacifica completed installation of an ISDN connection to KPFA. This means that Pacifica is now able to beam programming into the Berkeley station from hundreds or thousands of miles away. Pacifica and some of its station managers have also engaged in blatant acts of censorship, dropping programs that discuss the controversy, including pulling the plug on its own nationally syndicated morning show, Democracy Now! Coming up on this program, we'll have a background report on the Pacifica controversy. We'll also present an interview with KPFA broadcaster Dennis Bernstein, who was fired and arrested after airing excerpts from a press conference on the Pacifica situation. But first, we're joined in the studio by Eileen Alfandary, co-director of the KPFA News Department with 20 years' experience at the station, and Berkeley Vice Mayor Maudell Sherrick, a longtime civil rights organizer. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Norman.
Thank you very much.
What, Eileen Alfandary, would you describe as being the key issues in this crisis?
Pacifica has a 50-year history of being free speech radio. Pacifica's principles say that dialogue, debate, and dissent are essential for the functioning of a free society. Pacifica has to live by those principles. And unfortunately, in the last 3.5 months, especially the last week, Pacifica has grievously failed to do so.
What do you think should be the accountability process, generally speaking, with a community broadcaster and the community? And how does that contrast with what's been going on in terms of Pacifica?
Well, there's something very fundamental going on here, which is that for 50 years, KPFA's listeners have subscribed to the radio station and have provided, at this point, it's 80 to 85% of the annual budget. The people, in a very real sense, feel that they have paid for KPFA and for the programs on KPFA, and Pacifica has staged a takeover, and Pacifica really needs to give KPFA back to its staff and to its listeners.
Maudell Sherrick, you've been involved in, I guess, what people would call politics, and you've also been involved for decades in activism. How does this controversy bear on the concerns that you've had throughout your life?
Well, it very saddens me very much because I never thought that this would happen to KPFA. I've always felt it was a people's radio news. And we actually built that station. And, of course, now I feel quite a loss.
What did the station KPFA mean to you as someone who lived in the East Bay just across from San Francisco and as part of the Northern California area?
Well, it meant to me that we had somewhere where we could voice our opinion. And now we don't have that.
Also, one thing I thought would be important to share with listeners is to, in a sense, situate the Pacifica Network in the broader media landscape. More people in the country by far are familiar with and listen to National Public Radio. As a news director of a Pacifica-owned station for so many years, how would you describe the intersection and the divergence between Pacifica as a network of stations on a wider network of program services and, say, National Public Radio?
Pacifica has, in its programming, much more progressive political perspective that it brings to bear on the news. The other important difference between the Pacifica stations and the National Public Radio stations is that Pacifica and community radio stations broadcast to their local communities, have a much higher percentage of local programs. On KPFA, at least as of the date that the plug was pulled on us, there was only an hour and a half of national programming, which is all that Pacifica actually produced, broadcast on KPFA. All the rest of it, and some tape programs, but the vast majority of it was locally produced. That's very different at NPR stations.
What about the relationship between broadcasters and poor people, for instance, who often are disenfranchised? What would be the impact of KPFA disappearing from the airwaves, as it's now known, for low-income people, say, in East Bay?
Oh, it would be too much of a void. We just can't lose that. You know, we used to. They'd let you have the crumbs, but now they've taken even away the crumbs.
There has been national repudiation for Pacifica and what it's done. As you mentioned, Pacifica censored its very own program, Democracy Now!, when Democracy Now! Ran a segment on the crisis. That segment was allowed to run as regularly scheduled on only one of five of the Pacifica radio stations, and it's the one WBAI where the station originates. That's shameful. It's censored for the first time in history. I've been there 20 years. I have never seen something like this. The KPFA Evening News in mid-sentence imposed armed guards, locked out the staff. Pacifica's leadership is completely discredited and I believe should resign.
Well, what happened at KPFA a few weeks ago seems to have been replicated just as we speak in the latter part of July, where Pacifica Network News aired finally, a report on this crisis, and WPFW, the Pacifica-owned station in D.C., actually spiked that entire report and censored it off of its own airwaves. What's your sense of the meaning of that?
I can't believe that I continue to be astounded by Pacifica's actions, but I'm afraid that I am. You know, I have been talking to lots and lots of reporters over this last week who unanimously, to a person, have also expressed their astonishment and sadness over Pacifica's actions. And more than one has said, you know, nothing this bad has ever happened where I work. Pacifica has always said that it stands out as an alternative to the commercial medium and to the censorship, the self-censorship that goes on. And I'm afraid that Pacifica's censorship has been much worse than anything the commercial media has done.
That's the voice of Eileen Alfandari, co-director of the KPFA Radio News Department with 20 years at that station. Also, we're speaking with Berkeley, California Vice Mayor Maudel Chérik. And we're going to now go for a closer look at the KPFA lockout. Our producer, Philip Babich, spoke with Dennis Bernstein, co-host of the Flashpoints program, which is an investigative hour 5 days a week, airing weekday evenings on KPFA.
On July 13th, the KPFA Evening News was bumped off the air as the station broadcaster, Dennis Bernstein, struggled with armed guards who were ordered by management to remove Bernstein from the building. The station had been airing a tape segment on managed health care when Bernstein was bumped against a tape machine. A few moments later, listeners heard Bernstein shouting at the guards. This is the last minute of KPFA's regular programming before the lockout. You'll hear a few moments of silence.
I'm nervous. I'm afraid you're going to hurt me. You're going to shoot me.
African Americans.
I have belongings here. Excuse me. You cannot.
Ma'am, we interrupt the story from Mark Beavis on HMO because Dennis Bernstein of France Flashpoints has been put on administrative leave for his playing of a press conference concerning the crisis here at KPFA on Flashpoints just within the last half an hour. The KPFA, the guards that Pacifica has placed in KPFA are trying to drag him out of the studio.
Conference, and here you are ready to
And you can hear that in the background.
Here. What is Pacifica coming to?
Garland Ganter, who is the general manager of the Pacifica station in Houston, was brought in by Pacific Executive Director.
A few minutes later, the station started broadcasting archive tape.
What happened was I had just completed my Flashpoints broadcast. It's on right before the news. The last part of my show, I had played a 15-minute clip of a press conference that had been held earlier that day. The press conference was called by Media Alliance to announce that they had obtained an email from a Pacifica board member in Houston, Michael Palmer, to the chair, Mary Frances Berry, talking about the potential selling of KPFA and WBAI. That email was also significant because it was talking about shutting down and reprogramming KPFA, which has now occurred.
And this was a widely covered press conference, too.
It was a widely covered press conference. You could hear on the tape that mainstream reporters were asking questions of the people who were at the press conference. So I came out of the studio and I was met by the new management, Garland Ganter. The Pacifica had brought him in. He's the manager in Houston. He stopped me there. He said, you violated the gag order. You must immediately evacuate the building. I said, how did I violate the gag order? He says, follow me to my office, where I imagine there were many guards waiting to drag me out of the station and throw me out front like I was some drunk at a bar.
Because there were private guards already in the station, had been in the station.
Well, yes. The station has been occupied by a hostile a police force from IPSA International that specializes in hostile terminations, in downsizing, and according to their website, in meeting the needs of the new corporate executive that cannot be dealt with by traditional law enforcement.
So Gantner called you into his office.
Gantner called me into his office. I decided that I had another news story, and since the news was on live at KPFA, I headed for the news instead of Gantner's office, and then I guess the rest is history.
Dennis, Pacifica claims that you essentially orchestrated the press conference that you aired on your show, that you were spouting off during this press conference and aired that tape.
From the beginning, they've been trying to demonize the staff and make believe we're a dangerous bunch of criminals, and along with the community. That's why I guess they turned over 2,000 emails to the police for investigation. Just take, for example, what Alain Fabre, the communications director, told to the Associated Press about the reason I was pulled off the air this day. She said, I was at that press conference in front of municipal court, that I was participating in it, that I was spouting off about what was going on at Pacifica. While the press conference was going on, I was in a staff meeting with Garland Ganter and Lynn Chadwick, and they were reading us the riot act.
Now, Dennis, you have a lot of experience with Pacifica. You know all the main players who are involved with this controversy. I'm wondering if you can give me your kind of big picture analysis of what is taking place here.
For me, this looks like a hostile takeover of community radio. Pacifica is the largest community radio network in the country. Its resources are worth in excess probably of $200 million. In the world of the new Telecommunications Act, this several hundred million dollars can be flipped into billions. I think that people are trying to control these resources. I'm not sure for who. I don't even want to speculate on that. I just think that there's a lot at stake here, and these are things that we really need to take a closer look at.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to a special co-production of the National Radio Project and the Institute for Public Accuracy. If you'd like to learn more about our organizations, you may want to grab something to write with. At the end of this broadcast, we'll be giving out a phone number and web address.
We're talking now about some of the implications of the struggle over control of Pacifica Radio. Our guests in the studio here are Eileen Alfandary, co-director of the KPFA News Department, and Maudel Sherrick, vice mayor of the city of Berkeley, California. Eileen, when we use a phrase like control of Pacifica Radio, what are the implications for listeners to this broadcast on community stations around the country that are not owned by Pacifica?
Unfortunately, Pacifica is setting a new standard for censorship at community radio stations. I actually had an interview that was set up with a reporter, and I'm not going to put that person on the spot right now, but a reporter at a community radio station somewhere in this country whose station runs Pacifica programs. I got a call from the person who had helped set up the program saying that this reporter had been ordered by the manager who was on vacation not to air anything about the Pacifica crisis until the manager got back to town and could talk it over with this reporter, who apparently has been at the station for 10 years. That's tragic. It's not only tragic what's happening to Pacifica, it's tragic for the message that it sends all over this country to community radio stations.
And at the same time, there are a lot of community radio stations around the country, non-commercial, listener-supported, that have been expressing intense interest in what's going on and actually doing some special programming. How would you interpret that level of interest?
Lots and lots of interest. Pacifica is the primary. As small as we are, we've had a major impact on political discourse in this country, and we are the prime progressive media network in the nation. So, of course, the future of Pacifica, the direction that it takes, is of grave concern to community radio broadcasters throughout this country.
Mondale, you wear at least two hats. You're an activist. You're also an elected public official in the city of Berkeley. What does the flow of information to the public portend for your roles in trying to create social change? What is the significance from your vantage point?
Oh, it's very important that we have free speech radio. We need the analysis of the news, why it happened, and all, and people need that information. I can't see us being without it.
And when we are without it, what does it mean to the functioning of, say, a local government?
Well, you're functioning in the dark. People don't get the truth about what's going on.
You've seen a lot of political and social battles over the many years, and I wonder if you would kind of give a description of any pattern if you see it. I mean, you have powerful institutions, and you have people from the grassroots trying to challenge those powerful institutions. How would you describe the process? Some people think maybe it's hopeless.
Well, I don't think so. Look, we went through for fair housing, for the integration of schools in Berkeley, the whole McCarthy period. They've got to have information to act in these situations. And I'm thinking now of Trevor Thomas, who was with us doing that fair housing that really brought the news to us from KPFA on that. You know, we can't lose this. Repression, you know, for a while might work, but it just can't work.
The voice of Mondale Sherrick, Vice Mayor of the City of Berkeley, California. Also, we're speaking with Eileen Alfandari, Co-Director of the KPFA News Department. Over the years, the Pacifica Foundation has grown. Its five stations in Berkeley, Los Angeles, Houston, New York City, and Washington, D.C. are now worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Most valuable are its Berkeley and New York stations. Critics of Pacifica Radio have suspected for some time that the true goals of Pacifica's governing board have been to gain unchecked control of the organization and possibly sell KPFA in Berkeley or WBAI in New York. Correspondent Amy Parmalow has more.
While purges and infighting are not new to KPFA and Pacifica, this latest battle is clearly different. For the first time, the station is padlocked and windows are boarded up. Matthew Lazar, author of Pacifica Radio, The Rise of an Alternative Radio Network, calls it the worst crisis in community radio and in Pacifica's history. But Lazar says the current problems at Pacifica are part of a larger crisis facing community radio in the United States.
Very strong pressures. Very unfair pressures have been on community radio since the late 1970s when the Federal Communications Commission decided to ban low-power micro radio. Since then, all kinds of venues for public access broadcasting have been closed off, from the end of the Fairness Doctrine to the centralization of national public radio, right up until 1996 when the Telecommunications Act was passed, which made it easy for corporations to snap up radio stations, basically making any kind of public access airtime on even the commercial level, unavailable to most ordinary people.
It's within this context that Pacifica, a five-station, $200 million network, set about increasing its listener base and centralizing the organization, similar to the national public radio model. One significant difference, however, is that Pacifica owns stations, not just programming. To this end, Pacifica expanded national programming and increased its budget for administration. In order to accomplish this, Pacifica's former executive director, Pat Scott, restructured the governance of the Pacifica organization, says KPFA music director Chuy Varela.
And her agenda was largely going along with the flow of what would be something that would fit into the structures of what the Corporation of Public Broadcasting was asking for, dealing with governance of stations. She changed, in last year, she actually changed the whole governance body and laws of the way Pacifica Radio works. That in itself was something that a few people brought up that felt that this was really going to be very problematic. And now we are seeing the result of that.
Some of the current unrest can be traced back to 1995, when Pacifica fired several people and scrapped KPFA's women's and third world departments. The changes divided the staff and instilled a deep distrust of management.
In 1998, newly hired general manager Nicole Sawaya started to rebuild unity among staff, volunteers, and management at the station. Then, in late February of this year, Pacifica took local advisory board members off its national board. As a result, the now self-appointed National Board is no longer accountable to grassroots local communities.
On March 31st, the controversy reached new heights when Sawaya was fired. Pacifica would only say that she was, quote, not a good fit. Unlike previous managers, Sawaya was involved in the station, and her passion for community radio was evident. Months of chaos followed. Two veteran broadcasters were fired for speaking about the issue on air, armed guards were brought in, protesters arrested, and then, on July 13th, Berkeley police arrested staff and cleared the building. The final lockout. Meanwhile, Pacifica board chair Dr. Mary Frances Berry has framed the current struggle as a race issue. She says KPFA is resisting Pacifica's desire to increase diversity in KPFA's programming. Rosie Reyes is a graduate of KPFA's year-long apprentice program for people of color and women. Reyes, currently a freelance radio producer, disagrees with Dr. Berry's assessment.
Mary Frances Berry uses the word diversity. She does not use the word affirmative action. That makes complete difference to me in terms of power, relationships of power, and her analysis, alleged analysis of what she thinks is going on at our station, at KPFA. Those of us in media are trained to use those words when we want to invalidate or not really look at the issues behind the story again.
Khalil Jacobs Fantauzi, a young Puerto Rican and Jewish activist on the KPFA local advisory board, says the station has been working towards increasing diversity, but Pacifica has not been helping.
In terms of the reality that Pacifica has no national program dedicated to young people of color or people of color, we obviously at KPFA, like every institution, have issues in terms of trying to keep that and increase it. But the way in which they're doing it is not ensuring it, and they don't have it. So what are they talking about?
I think that there's a lot that is at stake here that really speaks to the fact of political empowerment for progressive causes.
Chuy Varela.
You know, for me, I mean, I'm very close to the United Farm Workers Union. And I think that, you know, in this climate, that if it's allowed to escalate, that a person like Cesar Chavez, a person like Che Guevara, a person like so many others, Lolita Lebron, who led, you know, an assault on Congress to bring up the issues of Puerto Rico, would not be given voices on Pacifica anymore. They would be left out. And I think that we're moving in a direction that is dangerous at a time when most media is being dealt with a corporatization, and that Pacifica should not stand that way. Pacifica needs to stand alone to speak for the voiceless.
In Berkeley, I'm Amy Pomerleau.
Amy Pomerleau was a reporter for KPFA until the lockout. For this special broadcast, we contacted a spokesperson for the Pacifica Foundation for Mary Frances Berry, who is chair of the Pacifica Foundation's governing board, as well as director of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission. We were unable to schedule an interview with Mary Frances Berry for this program. We now return to our discussion with Eileen Alfandary, co-director of the KPFA News Department, and Maudel Sherrick, vice mayor of the city of Berkeley. One thing I want to raise here is Mary Frances Berry's role. As I mentioned, she wears two hats, head of the Pacifica Foundation, basically, as well as of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission. And Eileen, I know you had done some reporting on this in terms of contact made by Mary Frances Berry to the U.S. Justice Department in relation to protests going on outside the KPFA studio building in Berkeley.
That's right. Mary Frances Berry apparently was upset when Berkeley police didn't move quickly enough to arrest civil disobedience protesters. She contacted the Justice Department. The Justice Department contacted the Berkeley Police Department. Everybody involved says it was just a conversation among friends, but clearly, questions about whether there was a potential, at least, abuse of power are there.
Maudel, taking a long view, I guess, looking back but also looking forward, how would you kind of situate this battle over KPFA and Pacifica Radio and community radio in the longer term for progressive social change?
You know, one of the things I think we sometimes forget, even progressives, that you have to continue to struggle and fight for the needs of the people. Maybe we have been a little asleep, thinking that, you know, well, we're having it good now. Maybe this is a good thing that happened to us in a way, to really wake us up.
Well, it's been a hell of a wake-up call.
It really has.
And as Eileen mentioned, of course, some really awful immediate results, and the dangers are very great. But to flip this over into hopefully something that we will learn from and learn to organize around, I'd like to ask either one or both of you to just comment on what you would suggest to listeners. How could they get involved not only in this particular battle, but in safeguarding or supporting or strengthening community radio where they live?
Listeners to community radio stations which cover, which carry Pacifica radio programs should definitely call those community radio stations and let them know how very concerned they are. They can visit the a couple of websites. There's savepacifica.net is one of them, where there's information that's posted, the email addresses in this computer age. There's been a lot of organizing that's actually gone on the Internet.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned about the website. For those who want to learn a lot more about the details and to get more involved, you can go to www.savepacifica.net. Maudel, any last thoughts you want to share with listeners?
Well, get involved. Keep involved. Really be participating in your community. That's all I can say, adding to what you've already said.
The voice of Maudel Sherrick, Vice Mayor of the City of Berkeley, also with us on this program, Eileen Alfandary, Co-Director of the KPFA News Department. Thanks to both of you for being here.
Thank you, Norman.
Thank you.
This has been a special co-production of the National Radio Project and the Institute for Public Accuracy. I'm Norman Solomon.
You have been listening to a special co-production of the National Radio Project and the Institute for Public Accuracy. Thanks for listening. And a special thanks to all the stations that carried this program and all the radio producers who sacrificed airtime so this program could be heard. Our producer was Philip Babich. Laura Levati was our associate producer. We had production assistants from Stephanie Welch, Amy Pomerlow, Shireen Meraji, and Eric Amaco. We had technical assistance from Mariah Gallardin and TUC Radio. To get in touch with the National Radio Project, call 800-529-5736. That's 800-529-5736. The Institute for Public Accuracy can be reached by going to their website, www.accuracy.org. That's www.accuracy.org. We had music from the Dave Matthews Band and the Charlie Hunter Trio.
This show originated in Oakland, California, and was uplinked to the public radio satellite from KQED-FM in San Francisco.